Would you please join me for our reading of Scripture? Today's reading comes from the book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 14. Please follow along in your own Bible or with the scriptures on the screen. Again, that is Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 14. Hear the word of the Lord. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house in the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
You know, when we think of Christmas, we think of the lights on homes and trees and the city. We think of lots of great food, parties, the Christmas music that plays 24/7 on the radio, and of course, the presents. And one thing that is often celebrated during the Christmas season is binging on Hallmark Christmas movies. I have a friend who loves these movies, and if you are not familiar with what a Hallmark Christmas movie is like, let me give you a small glimpse into them. In a Hallmark Christmas movie, it's a place where it's always Christmas. Everything is decorated lovely and bright. Every fireplace has stockings hanging over it with a nice fire lit underneath. There is always snow on the ground, and people wear beautiful Christmas sweaters as they chat and as they laugh with each other. It's where no one is ever alone, and where the problems and conflicts of the world are resolved by the end of the movie. There is always a happy ending filled with love and smiles and peace. The guy gets the girl, families come together in dramatic reconciliation, lives are touched and changed forever. And everyone walks away happily ever after. The movies are so Christmassy and joyful that even Ebenezer Scrooge would walk away from seeing one of these movies saying, "Yes, yes, I do. I like Christmas. I love Christmas." And that's great for Hallmark movies or any other kind of Christmas movie that you admire. But when it comes to our own lives, it can actually look far from what we see in such movies. Instead of joy and peace, there are problems and chaos. Instead of families coming together in dramatic fashion, there can be drama and arguments. Instead of love and romance, it can be another year alone or having to walk on eggshells. Under the surface of our smiles, many of us are plagued with worries about the uncertainty in our lives and stressed with all the things that we still need to do. Our panic starts to build and quickly leads to restlessness and fears that lead to more anxiety. Many are depressed with their current lot in life, having to deal with unmet expectations and how situations have turned out. There seems to be endless conflict in our family, marriage, relationships, and even within ourselves, leaving us short-tempered and irritable. We are stretched thin with money and time, and everything may seem picture perfect with us on social media or what everybody else sees about us. But yet, when no one's around, we are left to deal with our loneliness, brokenness, loss, grief, health issues, and shattered dreams. We have so much on our minds that oftentimes we can't even sleep. Things have been so overwhelming that all we really want is peace. Many people have all that they want materially, but yet have no peace. They medicate, drink, or have other escapes, but the effects are only temporary, and they still have no peace. They go for counseling or see therapists or even look into the latest horoscopes for peace, but yet find no peace. People want peace from the past and peace in their lives, but yet there is no peace. We even have religion, and yet we have no real peace. On top of that, how can we have peace when the world that we live in is not even peaceful? There's frequent news of hatred, violence, racism, murders, wars, and talks of more wars, viruses and diseases, economic and global collapse, and other disasters. Even politicians will promise peace, but they can't and still haven't been able to bring real peace to anyone. People want peace. The world wants peace. But yet many of us are seeking peace without God. But real peace only comes from God, and any sort of relief that we seek apart from Him will always be a temporary and false peace. And let me explain what a false peace is. A false peace is not real peace. In our relationships, people think that as long as there are no arguments, then there is peace. But you can't have real peace when we ignore difficult issues and problems, pretending like things are all good. See, we think we have peace because there's no yelling or disagreements in that moment on the surface level, but beneath the surface, there is still tension, anger, frustration, bitterness, and unresolved conflict. And when all that is still present, it affects us and how we deal with those around us, and so there is no peace. Personally, when we don't deal with the problems of our past or present, or our trauma that contributes to our drama, though we can have calm days, the reality is that there is no long-term peace. We're worried about our future, and many of us feel the guilt of our decisions and feeling the consequences of mistakes of our past. There is this civil war of emotions happening in us every day that affects everything that we do, and we have no peace. And for many, when it comes to God, we have no peace because we are resisting Him. We run from Him because we don't want Him influencing our life, because we think we are in control and know best. And because we've been playing God over our own lives, we are frequently stressed and worried because we have to control everything that happens, and as a result, we have no peace. And as long as there is sin in our lives, we will always have a war with God, which contributes to our war with others and a war within ourselves. We think that as long as we seek more education, more money, more status, more likes, or better circumstances, that we will have the peace that we so long for. But there will never really be peace without God. You will never have peace in your life, in your relationships, in your marriage, in your parenting, in the way that you work, in the decisions that you make without God. Maybe that is why what happened over 2,000 years ago means even more to us today, because the hope for peace came in a person called the Prince of Peace. And who was this person? It was Jesus, who was born on that first Christmas day. That is why there was a great announcement by the angels that was made to the shepherds that day that said, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests." God would come as a human to make things right between us and God, and us and others, so that we could have peace. But peace would only be realized when this baby born in a manger would grow up and pay the price for our sin by his death and open a way for peace. And because of Jesus and what he would grow up to do, we can experience three kinds of peace that only comes from God. The first is we can have peace with God. Many may say, I'm not at odds with God. You know, him and I, you know, we're good. He does his own thing and I do my own thing. But God would say that you're actually at war with him. And how do you know if you're at war with God? It's where you know of him but not know him. It's where you live your life and make your decisions apart from him and his influence. It is where we are self-reliant and not God-reliant. It is where our pride fights for control, and because we're frequently fighting for control of our own lives and outcomes, we are at war with God. Because of our sin nature, we rebel against God and his ways both knowingly and unknowingly. Because of our sin nature, we have broken his laws, thus making us sinners, and that is why we are at war with God. And because we're at war with God, that is why we have no peace. Every day, our decisions take us further away from God and away from his experiencing his love and his best for our lives. But Jesus came to offer us reconciliation with God. This child would grow up and choose to die for our sins on a cross, and the shedding of his blood would cleanse our sin and make us right with God. Jesus was the hand of God who took the hand of humanity, and he reconciled us at the cross so that anyone who wants to be reconciled and forgiven can begin a relationship with God. Because of what this child would do, we would have peace with God, allowing us to now start doing life his way instead of our own way. Once that happens, God can start to transform us from the inside out, and that will affect everything about us for the better. Because real peace only comes from God. So if you come to that cross, it is coming in humility, acknowledging your need for forgiveness and your need for God in your life. And when you realize that Jesus came to save you from your sins and make you into a new person, you can have peace with God. You just need to receive him. And when we receive him, the second kind of peace that we experience is the peace of God. During his earthly ministry, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." See, Jesus promised his followers that when they followed him and trusted in him, they would experience shalom, which is the Hebrew word for peace. But it wasn't a peace where there was an absence of war or problems or strife, but a peace of God that is independent from present circumstances or problems. God would give us the gift of peace of mind, heart, and soul, that even though we would face many troubles in this life because we live in a sinful and broken world, true shalom, true peace would be available to us and never be depleted by hardship and sorrow, but would be sustained by having a relationship with Jesus. Because of Jesus, no matter what our lot in life, God gives us his supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding, because God has overcome the world by his death and resurrection. Because real peace only comes from God. Many are frequently looking for peace in what the world offers, but that peace will always be temporary. Get a drink, sleep around, medicate, search for likes and approval, escape in your work or hobby. But God came to give us the peace of God, his shalom, his tranquility, because we trust in him. No matter what we face, we can have the peace of God. And when we receive him, The third kind of peace we can experience is peace with those around us. People can try to have peace with each other, but without God, we will never be able to bring permanent peace to our relationships. There are arguments in marriages and friendships in the workplace and the government, between countries and in the world, that have resulted in all kinds of conflicts and wars. But when we are in relationship with God, God will change out a heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh as His Spirit rules and reigns in our hearts. Because it is only when you are right with God, then only can you start to be right with others. It is when we are forgiven and transformed by God that we now have the ability to forgive others and take steps to make things right in our relationships. The cross has two beams so that we can be right and have peace with God and with others. The vertical beam demonstrates an avenue to be right with God, and the horizontal beam demonstrates an avenue to now to be able to be right with others. God came as Jesus so that we can experience peace. Peace with God, the peace of God, and peace with others. That is why Christmas is such a big deal, because it was God who saw our sin problem and God who saw where we were headed. And He took the first step by coming as Jesus in order to make things right with us. Jesus can offer you real peace today, this Christmas. You know, there's a story about the Richardsons, which was a missionary family in the 1960s, who left their home to go deep into the jungles of Papua New Guinea in order to share about Jesus to a tribal group of people known as the Sawi. While living in the jungles, the father learned the language and the mother treated the sick, all with the purpose of introducing the Sawi tribes to Jesus. But the Sawi did not respond to what the Richardsons were sharing with them. You see, the Sawi people were tribes of cannibalistic headhunters, and there were three particular tribes that lived in a constant state of war with each other. In fact, the violence got so bad that the father explained to the Sawi that if they kept fighting, the family could no longer stay because it wasn't safe. But the Sawi were desperate to keep the family around because of the services that they provided them. And so they finally agreed to make peace with each other. And the way they did that in their tradition was for each Sawi tribe to give up an infant, a baby boy, to their enemy tribe. This was done because if a person was willing to give his own son over to his enemies for them to care for the child, that person and their tribe could now be trusted. This child given became known as the Peace Child, a declaration that there would be no more war among any of the tribes from this point forward. And it was through this unexpected exchange buried deep in their culture that the Richardson family found an opportunity to explain who God was to the Sawi. That God sent His very own peace child, Jesus, to make peace with us. And following this event, many of the Sawi villages came and converted to Christianity. Just like the peace child broke down the walls of hostility between the Sawi tribes, Jesus, who is the peace child, given by God to us, broke down the walls of hostility between us and God and us and others. It is because of this peace child that sin has lost its power over us and death doesn't have the last word anymore, because Jesus created an avenue for anyone to do life with God now and for all of eternity. Imagine that this peace child, Jesus, could give you real peace, the kind of peace that you have been seeking all your life. Peace with God, peace within yourself, peace with others. Real peace that only comes from God. Peace that is independent of whatever circumstances is happening in your life. That is the kind of peace that God is offering you today and every day. And that kind of peace in itself is priceless. But did you know that it is free and available to you? That is why the angel said to the shepherds on that Christmas day, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." This peace child came to be our friend in order to give us salvation, joy, hope, and peace, so that the world would be changed. And he's available to anyone who would embrace him as their Savior. So if you are someone here today who doesn't have a relationship with God, know that this peace child has been given to you so that you can have peace today. And in a minute, I will walk you through what that looks like. And if you are someone who has a relationship with the peace child already, but yet find yourself without peace, then may this be a reminder for you to seek after the true peace that comes only from God and God alone. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we long for the kind of peace that only you give in all our situations. And so forgive us for doing things our own way as we seek you from now on, and as we seek your ways so that we can experience your peace and we can experience your best. You know, as we continue in prayer, maybe you're hearing all this and you realize that you don't have a relationship with God and that you want to start a relationship with this Prince of Peace, with this peace child today who came that Christmas day and who chose to die on a cross for you and for me and who rose from the dead so that we could experience life with him now and for eternity, so that we could experience peace now and for all of eternity. And if that is what you want, then I want to invite you right now to ask Jesus to come into your life, to save you from your sins, and to transform you into the person that you were meant to be. If that is your desire today, then will you pray with me right now, saying, "Heavenly Father, forgive me for all of my sins. Save me and make me new. Fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I can follow you for the rest of my life. Help transform me into the person that you meant for me to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen." If you prayed to ask Jesus to come into your life, then that means that you now have a relationship with the God of the universe and that you are a part of his family. Please email us at info@communitycitychurch.org to let us know of your decision. And we would love to get to know you better and give you some resources to help you grow in a relationship with God. Now, go in peace to love and to serve the Lord.